Jamie Locker with the Ear of the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. Detroit is leading Cleveland 2-1 in the top of the seventh. Winner of this game goes on to take on Seattle. Of course, later the Red Sox and the Yankees will play. The winner will take on
6 o'clock.
Blue Jays.
That got moved.
That is a 6:05 start tonight. But right now, we bring on our CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
Everything you need to get ready for game day.
Now, the Green Zone's NFL and CFL insider, Dave Naylor.
Dave Naylor, our CFL insider from TSN. He's been dealing with Twitter questions for weeks. Oof. On the rule change. They're going to four downs in 2027, Dave, now. I've read they are merging with the UFL. I've read
expanding into the United States.
They're
too.
Expanding in the United States.
No, they're going to expand into 12,000 seat stadiums around Canada. Yeah, yeah, that one too.
So, what of these conspiracy theories since the rule changes? Are you hot on or cold on?
Well, I think the big thing is the fear that this is a step towards something else, right? And then you've got to sort of, okay, what's the something else? And people think that there's, you know, league office and Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment are determined to drive the league down a certain path. And look, I think this isn't total lunacy. And here's where I'm going with this is I think one of the things that the changes in the rules or the dimensions provides is an opportunity to fit a CFL stadium in far, far more places than you could otherwise. And that means expansion. And I don't think Stuart Johnston's been a real secret on this one. Like, he's talked about expansion and that's not on the top of his to-do list. But, and we know that expansion in Canada has proved, if not impossible, very, very difficult. So, you know, I think that's part of it. Now, for some people, that's a good thing because they'll look at it and say, well, okay, if this is setting that up, then I'm okay with this. Maybe I'm more okay with these changes if I know that's the goal. But then there's the other crowd that's like, well, if that's even worse. If we're gonna do two things I don't want. We're going to expand outside of Canada, and we're going to alter the rules. I don't know whether people would have taken it better if the league had leaned into that one a little more and said, you know, we believe this improves our game, and it opens the door for opportunities for expansion that might not otherwise exist. I think it would be a lot harder if in 4 years you want to expand, you said, oh, by the way, before we do that, we got to change the game first. I think it's a lot easier if you put some space between the change of the game and eventual expansion. So it's not based on lunacy, but it is. I will be interested to see if the people who say they're never going to games. And I guess here's the big debate I'm having. Let me, before I ramble too much further. It's the whole idea that if I improve something to my house, okay, and then I go down the street and I see there's a house that actually my house kind of looks a little more like that house because I've made these changes. It doesn't necessarily mean I was trying to copy my neighbor. You know what I mean? We both just decided that goalposts shouldn't be on the goal line. The NFL decided it in 1974. The CFL decided it in 2025. You know, again, I don't think the game is markedly closer to the NFL game than it's ever been. Certainly optically it's closer to the NFL game, but as I said, when I talk to people within the game, they're processing the changes as changes on their own, not holding up a mirror to the NFL.
And we're NFL Canada by 2028. Dave, come on. Let's be real. I'm being sarcastic, by the way.
I want to throw something out there because I have said something similar to what you just said, Dave, that it isn't crazy for people to take a look at what happened, what Stu dropped on us couple of weeks back and go, hold on, where's this going? Because it lended itself to it. And I'm pretty sure, like, we've met Stu. He's not a dumb man. He was aware.
He's a smart guy.
He's a very smart guy. So yeah. He knew that was coming. Now, here's what I think is a fun conversation, because he said, listen, there's more coming. We're going to be behind the scenes working on fixing the game, the things that we think get in the way of this thing being a good product on the field. And Jamie and I just had a Rain Man moment when he went through the depth chart to try to explain how the designated nationalized American rule is going to be rolled out in Ottawa tomorrow for the Riders. And he has everybody, including the water boys, involved in the conversation. And
it's the
I just
rule.
About had a seizure. If that could tell me, Dave, for the love of, tell me that has got to be on the list of things that Stu is considering ending.
I would suggest strongly. In fact, if I could take a bet on that right now, I would absolutely do it. And it's just because look at the criteria that Stuart Johnston has applied to this thing. It's like, we're going to look at things that on the surface may have just ignored and ask, why are we doing this? And is this the best way we can do it? And that's basically what he did, you know, with the goalposts, right? With the two teams on the same sidelines. It's basically what he did and said, why are we doing this? Why are we having missed field goals win games? Why are we doing this? I think that absolutely, because I guarantee, because it doesn't make sense. Like, nobody would say that's a good thing for your league. It became a necessary thing in the heat of a 11th hour CBA negotiation, but it ain't a good thing. And I would say that kind of stuff, I would say strongly, will not be part of the future of the CFL.
That's going to be a CBA negotiation, though.
Yeah, that's
a CBA. That's 4 years away. That's 4 years away, right? I think it's four. I may be wrong. Time moves faster than I realize sometimes.
So, do you think there's going to be a
years. Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be a world we live in where there's no starting ratio anymore? None. Done. It's over. Half the roster's Canadian. Half the roster's American or global. But we're not going to mandate how many Canadians you have to start.
I think that could happen. I believe that could happen. And by the way, you would still have to have Canadian starters because there aren't enough Americans on your roster to take all 24 starting spots, right? And then some are going to play special teams. You've got a kick returner or a kicker, a punter. And if you got dead depth American somewhere else, you'd get to five Canadians pretty quick. And then, you know, teams would opt to play more. So, I think that, you know, those are the kinds of changes that I think we could see. Would I be surprised if under this leadership, the ratio altogether is gone, that there's no place for Canadians on the roster? It's just best players play lineup. I don't think we would see that. No. But could we see changes to how many you ought to start and things like that? I think you could see that if, again, let's use Stuart Johnston's criteria. One of them is, you know, the best game. Does this ratio, the way it's employed right now, give us the best game we could have? And I think that will probably be a question he'll try to answer. And if he finds the answer is no, then he'll probably try and change it. That would be my guess. You think of the criteria that he uses, apply it to any area of the game, and I think you get your answer.
Real quick, Dave, before we get to the National Football League, do you think Stuart Grey Cup Week will have more announcements at his State of the League on the Friday?
I think that the period around Grey Cup will probably be very noisy with announcements. Yeah, okay. I don't know about the Friday, like from the podium. I mean, that's the thing. I heard somebody say the other day the proposed changes, and I had to correct them and go, they're not proposed. They're done. Like that's the sort of stunning part of this, right? There's no more discussion. It's as Nathan Burke lamented, it's over. It's done. And I do think I would expect, you know, just knowing how this is rolling out, that the Grey Cup period will be very noisy with announcements from the CFL.
The one thing that I will say, and we had a conversation about this earlier in the Green Zone, Dave, is that I think it's important that, and I know you guys at TSN are dealing with this because you're being bombarded. And listen, I understand as well that there is a separation in the world that we live in, that the social media world is not the real world.
Correct.
But I don't think you can ignore the faction of the CFL fan base that is bothered by the possible direction that Stu may or may not be taking the league, and just dismissing them because it's Twitter world or they're of a certain vintage or whatever, I think is a huge mistake, because I think there is a lot of people that are concerned. I mean, we're having a conversation right now with you about the CFL rule changes, and how long ago did this go drop?
Oh, yeah. 10 days ago.
And we're still getting texts. It's happening right now.
The conversation is still, I was over talking to a guy who was selling his house, you know, on my street the other day, and blah, blah, blah. First thing he wants to talk about, CFL rule changes. I guarantee you that in downtown Toronto, I would not have randomly run into a CFL conversation on a Tuesday. And it was a Tuesday.
Yeah.
In the middle of the day, if the CFL had not changed its rules. So, yeah, this conversation is percolating within CFL circles, beyond CFL circles, no question. And I think, you know, here's the thing, Locker. You've identified a really interesting access point. Because every time this league has wanted to do something, you know, to change, they've always peered over the edge of the cliff and gone, but what if the people who love us leave and we don't get new people who love us? Like, that's always been the dilemma. And this seems like the one time that they're willing to say, we're going to take that chance. We think the people who are going to be angry will come with us eventually. And we think we're going to be able to sort of, you know, take the game in a direction where, you know, we can attract new viewers.
Dave, I agree with that, but I don't think they should be ignored.
No, I agree. I agree. And I think it's tough though, because there's no compromise on this one, right? It's not like, cause somebody asked me, like, do you think they'll roll back some of the things? I was like, nope, I do not. Now, I think there's tweaks to come in the rules committee, and that's what the rules committee is for, so to make sure the application of the rules is going to go smoothly. But we're not going to see any of these genies stuffed back in the bottle. No. I think it's already been interesting, sort of. But as this happens, I think there's going to be a lot of, it'd be interesting to report on how much of this is just, you know, people shaking their fists at the sky and whether or not the league actually does lose fans.
I don't understand if there's no 55-yard line in the field goal posts, I don't care if the Riders die thought. I'm like, what are we doing? I don't understand that.
Yeah, that one's that's a hard.
I think you can be upset about the changes. But to go to the park for decades to come, no matter if there's a 55-yard line or Rouge or not.
Yeah.
It's a community around
it's
there.
It's the NFL stuff that is really the emotional stuff. Like, look, there's a huge faction of this country that loves the NFL. You know, that's why we cover the NFL like crazy. But there is a portion of this country that absolutely despises that league. It's quite clear. Or at least they really, really, rejoice in being different from it, you know. And look, you mentioned, you know, like I was on social media. Like, I've seen some, like, there's obviously been a lot of heat about the quote-unquote, you asked about conspiracy theories at the start of this interview. You know, the one that TSN has this boardroom meeting where all the football on-air talent is read the editorial position and given talking points and, you know, heads out into the world to spread their gospel. It ain't that way.
That's not happening.
I've never even before they put me on air, I didn't even everybody ask me what my opinion was. They said, you and Dwayne Ford are going to do a hit. Tell us what you think. Like, that was it. You know, and we each had, you know, kind of drawbacks. Mine was the missed wide field goal, and Dwayne saying, you know, in disincentivizing field goals, I hope you're going to incentivize touchdowns. I'm worried you might incentivize punts. You know, we actually had some sort of nuanced take on this, but overall, we just, in our own, each of us individually, decided the benefits were better than the drawbacks, and each of us are willing to endorse it. But there are no marching orders. There are no talking points.
Dave Naylor, RCFL insider here on the Green Zone. Real quick, you're going to be a Bills Sunday nighter or Sunday, right?
I will be at Orchard Park. Bills 4-5 home games to open the year. I've never seen anything like this.
Are they wearing their white jerseys?
Yes.
They are. They were practicing with the white helmets on when I was there yesterday. Yeah. They look cool.
They look cool?
No, I don't
like it. Yeah, yeah. No, you're going to like it. I'm having a whiteout at the game, too. So it's going to be
that's cool.
Be a cool thing.
Wow, yeah, where'd they get that idea? Winnipeg? See? They take our ideas, too, down there. They've done it for years.
Oh, they're going to become the CFL soon.
Yeah, that's what everybody be worried about tomorrow night. We're turning into Winnipeg.
All right, Dave, we'll leave it there. Real quick, sorry. I want to give you a mulligan. You picked Ottawa to go to the Grey Cup at the start of the year. If you had a mulligan, which team from the East are you picking to play the Riders in the Grey Cup?
I'm going Montreal.
Oh, okay. My goodness.
I mean, I'm going Montreal. Montreal, Saskatchewan is my Grey Cup now since my Ottawa, Saskatchewan ticket crashed.
It doesn't look great right now.
That does not look good. I mean, mathematically, you know, if they win 4, Montreal loses 4, and they win a road playoff game, win the Eastern Final, get to the Grey Cup, Wow, you'd probably get a decent odds on that.
Put $5 down on that one.
Yeah,
see what that gets.
They'd have a great company.
The Ottawa ownership group would have better luck trying to win the Lotto Max.
Have
a good rest of your weekend.
Thanks, Naylor.
Thanks, guys. That was fun.
That is Dave Naylor from the CFL on TSN here on the Green Zone. Our CFL analyst, you hear him weekly on the Green Zone.
A lot more to come. We'll get to the Rider story, the depth chart, lots of changes. Britton Gray will break it down. Also, we're dropping the gloves with Drew Remenda a little bit later on as well, right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. On this day in sports history, we remember the tweet. Darian Durant got fined this day, October the 2nd, 2013, for telling a fan to, we'll call him a dumb bleep because the fan wanted him to run the ball more. We were winning when I wasn't running the ball, you dumb bleep. Got fined for it. I say it's the tweet that turned the season around. Christian, who sent that tweet, texted us saying, I did not delete my account. He did delete the tweet, but he did not delete the account. But Christian, thanks for listening to the Green Zone. You may have been the difference in the 2013 season to win the Grey Cup.
I'd celebrate that.
The most ironic thing about Christian's tweet to Darian, to telling him to run the ball, the ironic thing is, what got the Riders to the Grey Cup? The West semifinal against BC, Darian Durant took off and ran four huge runs to help beat the BC Lions. So maybe when it all was said and done, Christian knew Darian Durant needed to run the ball to win.
Jamie and Locker with you here on a Thursday afternoon. Still to come, Drew Remenda will stop in for his biweekly Drop the Gloves segment. Of course, we're gearing up for the launch of the NHL season next Tuesday. Chris Cuthbert is going to swing in next week to help us preview the season. And we'll have a lot of guests going into, and we'll continue our previews of those Canadian franchises before things get going. Salim Valji at TSN Calgary. Locker was quite honest about his assessment of the Flames, that you Flame fans shouldn't plan for much spring hockey.
And it didn't come from me. I just said I was part of the ABC group, and then that pause was beautiful, though, when you asked him whether or not they were going to make the playoffs, and then Slim took a good 20 seconds to respond.
No, they're not going to make the playoffs. Okay. There you have it.
I think they've done a couple of things, though.
But they didn't improve their offense.
They didn't improve their offense.
They scored as many goals as the Chicago Blackhawks. And, like, look at Connor, but, like, what? Yes, they were tied for the final playoff spot last year, but I also don't see Dustin Wolfe being this good all the time. That was a big contract for a goaltender, and goaltenders can go hot and cold. So we'll see.
Sophomore slump.
Potentially. We'll see how it works.
Huberdeau, if he's and that looked like a knee. Did I say it wrong again?
Yeah. Huberdeau.
Yeah. I've been saying that one wrong all day. That didn't look good. That collision with the net last night. He is in trouble.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not skate today.
Too bad for the Calgary Flames. But it'll be something to watch ahead of puck drop next week, Wednesday. It's Thursday today. Wednesday, it's the Battle of Alberta, the Flames and the Edmonton Oilers.
Hold on, what day is it again?
It's apparently Thursday. Are you ready over there?
No, please continue. The bases are loaded, so if you guys want to keep on.
Get the latest news on your team from the Green Zone.
The Daily Blitz with Britton Gray.
Bring us up to date on the Cubbies and the Padres.
Bottom of the second, no outs, bases loaded.
For the Cubs?
For the Cubs as Crow Armstrong comes up to the plate.
Okay. So it's going better for the Cubs than it is for the Cleveland Guardians right now, down 6-1 to the Detroit Tigers. But, Britton, if we can pull you away from your baseball game for a split second here, let's talk about a depth chart that has plenty of changes to it for the Saskatchewan Roughriders ahead of tomorrow's game. We begin with, the kicker. We talked about it yesterday. Campbell Fair is going to be making the kicks. Now, we watched the video earlier of his 55-yard game-winning field goal at the very stadium he'll be kicking in tomorrow, so a comfortable place for him. Locker asked me this question. What is a successful night for Campbell Fair? I said not miss a kick, and then
yeah.
I think you thought that was a little...
little harsh to say, oh, he needs to be perfect.
What is it for Campbell Fair tomorrow?
Just a success, like a passing grade for Campbell Fair.
Hey, good job, kid.
67%.
Three of four. I think three of four kicks are somewhere in there. And the one he misses isn't terrible. It's just you miss a little bit. It's not. It didn't shank it or anything like that. As well, you want to see him kick. How far can he kick in a game? 50-plus yarder. That would be a check mark on it. And then you hope this doesn't come down to it if you're the Riders. If it's close at the end, how does he handle the pressure? Yes, at U Sports, he did make the big kick. Completely different expectations when you're in the pros, especially for a team with the expectations the Riders have. And that's really the biggest concern with Campbell Fair is what is he like in the clutch in the pros? What is he like when the game's on the line? Brett Lauther's proven he can do it despite the struggles this season. Campbell Fair is an unknown in that regard.
Yeah. That game we watched, that was a playoff.
No, that was just the rivalry game against Carlton.
The big rivalry game.
It's a huge Ottawa game. It's a huge game. Carlton, Ottawa.
Yeah, I get
they're both universities. It is packed. Every regular season, it's their big.
Yeah.
I forget who Vanderbilt beat in the regular season, who their big rival is, but they take the goalposts into the creek or into the river, and they're riding it if they beat them.
So here's my question about the designated American. I'm sorry I'm dwelling on this because I don't want another breakdown from Jamie. I'm trying to avoid
that.
If
you have questions about it, the listeners have questions because it is a stupid, stupid rule.
Well, no, and he broke it all down. But here's my question for you guys. Was there a way around this? Like, this seems like, we're in trouble. Somebody hit the red designated Americanized, nationalized American rule because we're going down. Like, the ship is sinking here. It seems like a last resort move.
It is and it isn't. They could make moves to get to the Canadians. They could run four starting Canadian receivers if they really wanted to. Of course, do you want to take out Keyshawn Johnson or Dante Myers? No. You could start Kerfella Exume again. I think they've seen enough of that experiment. You could have just Ollie Saad play the entire game. They have some... Benoit Marion could come in for Habakkuk Baldonado. It's not so you're forced into it. But I think when they look at their roster, how they're going to want to go into the season, the last part of the season, you're into playoffs with their roster configuration, this is the closest they can get to it without doing something really weird. And, of course, the release of Kosi Onyeka, I think that also on a short week did not help this team in terms of finding out the ratio.
Thanks for not asking to explain this stupid rule.
No, I don't need explained again because, I was paying attention.
It's on the Blitz podcast. Britton does a good job explaining it. I had a little meltdown on the Blitz podcast when we recorded it last night. I needed to take a time. I gave myself a timeout on the podcast trying to talk about this designated nationalized American rule.
By the way, the Blitz podcast is Canada's fastest growing CFL podcast. Please get that podcast where you get your fine podcasts, including YouTube.
Although it's better on Spotify because you don't get to see them.
Okay, some other things on the depth chart. Kean Schaefer-Baker is indeed back.
Yes.
As the start. Now they move Keyshawn Johnson to the wideout. So Myers and Johnson are now the wideouts
with all the
Canadians in the slot. So it'll be interesting because Keyshawn Johnson has been lights out in the slot on second downs.
Yeah, absolutely. He's become Mr. Second Down for this team. I think he has the highest second down catch rate in the league this season. That move to me is more of Keyshawn Johnson can play that spot. That's where he was at originally. Kean Schaefer-Baker, he's a slot back. If he's coming back, you're putting him in the slot. Some guys can play other positions. Some guys, that's where they're playing. To me, it feels like Kean Schaefer-Baker, slot back, and Keyshawn Johnson, you can play wide receiver, and they can move him around. Absolutely. Like I said, Mr. Second Down over there, Keyshawn Johnson, I still expect him to be a big part of this offense.
So you were, it's a short week, quick turnaround, not as much practice time, not as much Britain in the stands watching what's going on. But did you, from what you saw, get any indication that there was a focus or a mindset where they were trying to fix the slow start issues?
Not on. No. I mean, it's really tough on the field to get something for that. They're talking about it. They've all said they've talked about it. Corey Mace said they're done talking about it. Something needs to change after the game. But Trevor Harris has talked about it. I asked Roland Milligan, what's it like to have to answer these questions? He's like, it's annoying to have to talk about the slow starts and the same issues all throughout the week. I think they will figure it out, but I've been saying that. If there's a team to do it against, it's going to be the Ottawa Redblacks because, boy, if this team doesn't, this could be the first quarter might be terrible football. Both these teams do not score a lot in the first quarter.
They're, I believe, seventh or eighth and ninth
yes.
In first quarter scoring this year. So,
pretty different records.
Yes. One team, when it matters, makes a play. The other one, you are left scratching their head because, Ottawa can't beat a team who completes only three passes. for the first time in 50 years. That's where we're at with the Ottawa Red Blacks. As Britton Gray continues with us here on the Green Zone, there are some other little changes here and there. They did bring on Red Wine onto the roster for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Yes, Winos, you heard me right. His last name is Red Wine. Sheldrick Red Wine is a defensive back.
Marcus, that's a great name.
Marcus Sales is a game-time decision. Mm-hmm. So, that would tell me Kerfala Exume is not touching that corner spot unless there's an injury in the game, that it'll be Sheldrick Redwine playing there if Marcus Sales can't go.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's what that indicates. Redwine, another guy who has some NFL experience. I think he picked off Ben Roethlisberger maybe at one point. Maybe not. No, Ben's been out for a while. But
how much? Like how old is this guy?
No. I got it wrong. But I think that this is a guy that they like, a guy they brought in late, and we saw him out there. We were like, who's number 16 out there? And it was Red Wine.
So this, where do you put this in the on the sort of panic level of must win situations for the Riders, Britton? Is it a 5 out of 10? Is it a 6 out of 10? Is it a 3 out of 10?
That's tough because I think if you're a Grey Cup contender, you should handle business against the Ottawa Redblacks.
I agree.
Are not a good team this season. You need to go in there and win by a decent chunk, some decent points there, I think, if you're a Grey Cup contender. You handle business against these teams. But to call it a must win, I'm not sure, but I think like an 8. If you're a Grey Cup contender, you win this game.
I think it's an 8. I think it's a good pick.
They haven't won in Ottawa since 2017, so that's a tough road trip.
What are you looking at me? I didn't say must win.
It's a 2. It's a 2.
Will you be saying that on Friday night at the end of the game if they lose?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Again.
I think they got to win this one.
Four straight losses in 2013. Four straight.
I'm a 7 or an 8.
Everybody's hair was on fire. Our good friend Christian tweeted at Darian Durant and turned the whole season around. So get your Twitter accounts. I don't think Trevor Harris is on Twitter. So meanwhile, I did fact check. It was Baker Mayfield that he intercepted.
According to Wikipedia, intercepted Ben Roethlisberger as a member of the Cleveland Browns in 2019.
He did pick off Philip Rivers on that as well. So
he did catch the very, yeah, I was like, hang on, but no, yeah.
It was a
2019 with the Cleveland Browns. So Sheldrick Redwine has been around the NFL for a little bit.
Yes, that might have been his first year, you know.
It was. It was his rookie year. He is 29 years old. So veteran football, this isn't a young 23-year-old kid out of college. So he's jumped around the NFL a few stops. Cleveland, the Jets, Miami. And for one game, Britton Gray's Dallas Cowboys. There is Britton Gray on the Riders look. Tomorrow on the Green Zone, we'll get his week 18 predictions and a look ahead to what's ahead in this week in the Canadian. What's the Cubbies? What's going on with the Cubbies over there with bases loaded?
Then two straight walks by the Padres pitcher. So 2-0 thanks to some walks, 0 outs, bases still loaded.
Things looking good for Britton Gray's Cubs against the Padres right now. The Guardians are down 6-1 to the Tigers, later on the Red Sox and the Yankees. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. We have Drew Remenda coming up at 4:05 here on the Green Zone. And what's next for flag football? Are we about to see a pro league? That's next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone. Of course, 2028 Olympics flag football will be there. Of course, Paul Appelice doing his best to get Team Canada all good and qualified for that event.
They're coach doing of the some, Canadian squad, yeah.
They're doing some of those big international events to raise Canada's ranking in the world to make sure they have a spot there, and he's being quite successful at it.
You know what's cool about that story is they went to Paul Appelice and asked him for help on who to get to coach that team, and he went,
I'll do it.
He was like, can I do it? That's a true story.
And there
perfect
he is.
Perfect guy for it.
So we'll see how they do moving forward. But yesterday in England, there was a sports conference, and Roger Goodell of the National Football League was there. And he says the NFL is planning to launch women's and men's professional flag football. And he said in the next couple of years, in the lead up to the 2028 LA Olympics. So
this is a sport that is growing. We've had this conversation multiple times on the Green Zone, and I get it. And if you're a purist, if you're a football fan of tackle, I can see you pushing back on this, and there is pushback on it. But I think this is going to be a league that is going to be very, very difficult to ignore moving forward. And it's smart on the NFL's part to sort of.
Of course it is. It's the shield. They will put that brand on as much as possible when it comes to football.
And launching a men's and women's professional league, I think, is also brilliant.
Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone.